WCBC Sports. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Rob Cioli and Dr. Jim Zamayas and the WCBC sports team with lots of information about the week in sports.
Good morning. It's Saturday Morning Quarterback, championship weekend style. This is Jim Zamayas on Tony Orndorff, Mike Conley, Brad Reed, Rock Cioni, Garrett Egan by phone. Our show today is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take any phone calls, but with kickoff at noon, we had to record our show ahead of time. So welcome to our final Saturday Morning Quarterback of the year, and we're recording this Wednesday evening. So glad you could join us. And it's been a lot of fun hosting the show this year. And, of course, we're going to start with a preview of the Maryland-Northern 1A game, Northern versus Fort Hill. Rock, why don't we talk about Northern first, then we'll get to Big Red. What are your thoughts about Northern going in?
Well, gritty bunch, feisty bunch, some really good players, but not enough of them to compete with Fort Hill. I don't think that astounds anyone. I think that Fort Hill will wear them down with their ground game. They're bigger. Fort Hill's bigger, even though they might not be any more experienced with that young offensive line. At the same time, if Northern is going to have any chance, I think Evan Graham has to have a big game, but that means the offensive line for Northern has to have a really good game and try to control the football and keep Fort Hill's offense off the field. And let's face it, your Burrow is good for breaking at least one. And so along with him and that punishing ground game, I just give a lot of credit to Northern to being there, an awful lot of credit. But I just don't think they can stay with Fort Hill for four quarters.
Mike Conley, we saw Northern give a good ball game to Allegheny. It was close. I think Allegheny won by maybe 13 points. What are your thoughts about the Huskies heading into Saturday?
Well, Phil Carr is Phil Carr, and, you know, they got beat by Fort Hill the first game of the season. As he was quoted in the paper saying, I don't care if it's the Ravens or the Steelers. Well, you know, Fort Hill could be on that par as far as high school, but you know how they are. They just come to play and reigning state champ three times. So, Phil Carr will have his kids ready, but as Rock said, too much Fort Hill.
All right, Brad, did you get to see Northern once or twice this year?
Once, against Mountain Ridge.
Oh, okay. Very good. So what are your thoughts about Northern?
Well, that game against Mountain Ridge, I thought they were the better team. I think they're wearing kind of the glass slipper, and maybe that glass slipper gets broken in a number of pieces come Saturday. But hats off to Northern. Excellent, excellent season. And just to make it is an accomplishment. I know that's easy for me to say, but it really is.
All right. Tony, how many times did you get to see Northern this year?
I think the only time I saw Northern live was when they played Frankfurt. You know, I was looking, you know, getting ready for the Frankfurt game this weekend, which will have already been played when this is heard. Frankfurt did not give up a lot of points throughout the season. And Northern's 14 points that they scored on Frankfurt is the second most points that they gave up. They gave up 21 to Hampshire. Most of that was kind of in garbage time, and they gave up 12 to Mountain Ridge. 14 points to Northern, that's the second most, and they were very impressive. They're a good team. They're a tough team. They're well-coached, obviously. We always talk about that. I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to try to break news and say that they'll beat Fort Hill, but I think they may give people a better game than they're expecting.
Mike Conley, we we followed Fort Hill over Hill and Dale, Chesapeake Bay, maybe some weather challenges. But with all that said, they have won three straight games on the road, Clear Spring and Cambridge and Perryville. Your thoughts about Fort Hill?
Fort Hill is Fort Hill. I'm just glad we're going to be inside this week. And My one question I wanted to ask you guys, when was the last time Ford Hill had one touchdown pass in three consecutive games? These three playoff games they've been on the road, they're 6 of 9 with three touchdowns.
And that was the winning play.
Right.
The winner was the touchdown pass to Carson Bender.
I mean, we were growing up, you had, you know, Greg Hare, Mark Mangus, those guys that could put the ball around the field. But for three consecutive games, that's something that Northern's going to have to, I mean, watch out for on Saturday if Ford Hill puts the ball in the air.
Now, this is bad, but that's right. Tony and I both teach history. And if you have a world history book, they give you these timelines at the beginning of the chapter. Mm-hmm. Paleolithic age, Cro-Magnon age, etc. Wherever Fort Hill's passing game is, it's not real modern, but it's ahead of Allegheny's. And it does enough, Rock. Fort Hill's, they'll go to the pass, and they have success with it when they do it. And it's nothing fancy.
Well, you know, I was thinking the other day about that. You're right. They get key scores out of their passing attack, despite the fact that they don't throw it hardly at all. But you know what? They're second. They don't get a lot of game time, actual action to practice any passing game either, because they're usually on the mercy rule into the third quarter, sometimes when the third quarter starts. And, you know, Zach's not the kind of guy that's going to throw the football down the field when he's up 35-0 or 42-0. They do it. They throw it when they need to throw it, when they know they can surprise the defense. The defense thinking Jabril, 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 and all of a sudden Carter Bender comes out of the backfield and he's no one close to him. So I think credit to the coaching staff at Fort Hill for the way they use the pass, and credit to Nash Castle and the house kid. They hit their receivers when they need to. And you know something else about that game? We don't want to forget, if Tristan Ross doesn't return that kickoff, they lose that game. Now, that's all part of the game. Special teams is part of the game, but not to be lost on us.
Was their first score late in the first quarter. Brad, you saw a game where Fort Hill needed to pass, game number two, when they lost to Dunbar, and they did try to throw the ball some. And wasn't there a pick six late in the first half in that one?
It was right before the halftime. Fort Hill was driving down around the 25-yard line and was in kind of a hurry-up. I think they had a timeout left, if my memory serves. They didn't take that timeout, and they went with a swing pass, and it got picked off, and it was a pick six.
See the pass game is better now that you've seen them throughout the year? We just saw them in week 13.
I think the whole team is better. Their offensive line is better. It gets more protection. And the offensive line is better run blocking. So that opens up the pass a little bit more over the course of the year.
All right. Garrett Egan, welcome. We're talking about Fort Hill and its use of the passing game. You'll be there Saturday with Rock and Mike. What are your thoughts about Big Red going into this game against Northern?
I think it's a trap game in the fact that a lot of people think that because of Fort Hill's last couple games that Northern stands a good chance. Now, I do think that Northern can be successful by their standards. I think they can move the football. I think, you know, in the first half they can be, sustain some drives. But what's working against them, and to Fort Hill's credit, is Fort Hill has had such a powerful second half, two straight games where at halftime there was a lot of doubt on whether or not Fort Hill was going to pull these games out, and they pitched shutouts in the second half. And even if Northern were to jump out to an early lead, say there's a couple of turnovers or, you know, something incredible happens to put Northern ahead, what we now know and what we've kind of always known is Fort Hill is a consistent second-half team, even yep. against adversity, and Northern is going to have to play pretty much a perfect game and then hope that Fort Hill does something uncharacteristic of Fort Hill, and that's have a bad second half. So I'm really happy for Northern that they're there. I think it's great for Coach Carr. I think it's great for the kids. It's great for our area, for Western Maryland, but you know, Fort Hill has a lot of experience being in Annapolis.
All right, Garrett, thank you. Tony, Fort Hill going into this game against Northern.
I think what you see with Fort Hill is their not just willingness but eagerness to coach and adapt throughout the year. They're never the same team that they are at the beginning of the season, so it's a different team, and then when they find things that work, they steer into it. They make adjustments, and they made adjustments at halftime as well over the last two games that were crucial. They didn't look good last week for a little while, but the adjustments were made, and then in the previous week it was more, I think, of an emotional shift that Coach Alkire was able to tap into. So it's really that. It's just that when you play Fort Hill week to week, you're not going to get the same team. And I think they also draw on the momentum of winning big games. So the win at Cambridge 2 weeks ago reminded me of the win against Wadsworth, which was a game that really seemed like it wasn't going to work out. And last week was kind of like that as well. But the confidence that the Sentinels got from both of those wins, I think it's hard to overcome. I can't imagine that they have a feeling that anyone in the state of Maryland can play with them.
Rock, I was just saying about Fort Hill and that Perryville game. They were playing with Kansas City Chiefs-like danger there, where Kansas City has this amazing streak where they just pull these games out. Could be a bad opponent, could be a good opponent. But Fort Hill turned the ball over at midfield with a couple of minutes left, and all Perryville had to do was strike on one long pass, and they beat Fort Hill. But it never happened. And we have to credit that Fort Hill defense, which has been astounding. They held Allegheny to 4 first downs in 2 games. Those were both shutouts against a team that was averaging 400 yards rushing late in the year. And then they go to Cambridge, don't let them do anything in the second half. They don't let Perry, the quarterback for Perryville, was like one of the best we've seen all year. He could do nothing in the second half. So the defense is something else, and the halftime adjustments that we've all talked about.
Yeah, and Zach Alkire commented on that. They did change their secondary coverage. We say it often, Fort Hill does seem to make better adjustments, more effective adjustments at halftime than a lot of teams were used to seeing. And they did, that young quarterback, Brad, he really had a heck of a first half, but the second half, I don't know if he was shook up, injured.
I don't think their coaches did. Maybe in terms of adjustments, they didn't do him any favors by making him throw long passes on the sideline in a window of about 2 yards.
No margin of error.
And their passing game all year long, and what their coach has preached, was short passes and runs after the catch. Mm-hmm. They totally went away from that in the second half, and I'm not sure why.
Fair point.
Talking about their Fort Hill defense, this is from Saturday. No first downs allowed in the second half. 18 carries for the ball game, minus 15 yards.
Whoa.
And the total passing, 8 of 24 for 131 yards. And, of course, he had 2 touchdowns and an interception.
8 of 24, and I think at least 5 of those completions came in his first 7-day passes.
He was 6 of 10 in the first half. So they only they threw for 12 yards total in the second half against Fort Hill.
Tony, is your dad going down there?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now your dad is a little bit older than I am. I'm 67. So
he's probably listening right now on his way down.
He has to figure out. Not only do we now have to get the tickets online, but we have to do parking online.
I didn't know about the parking online.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to drive out to Short Gap sometime before Saturday and help them walk them through that.
I mean, yes. It's sort of like, this is high school football, and it seems like this, we'll get into the state of West Virginia later, but it seems like they just want to make it difficult for people.
Sometimes in the state of Maryland, you get the feeling that the schools would prefer that the people not come to watch these games because it's kind of a big inconvenience to have to deal with all the people. My brother, coaches down in Southern Maryland, and he's gotten that sense at different places and places he's been at, which is like, you winning games is inconvenient for us because we have to now go to these things. People show up. The thing you'll hear most of all if you go to a high school football game in that area is announcing to the students to make sure their rides are there on time, because they want people out of there as soon as possible. Part of that is security concerns, but part of it is just the sense that this is kind of a big hassle and we kind of rather not deal with it. Yeah, no, my dad is good with the tickets online. I showed them that, and my stepmother mastered it perfectly, so she's got it. I'm sure she'll be fine with the parking, or they'll just circle around a little bit.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, as Mike Connolly was saying before you got here, make sure he sees the instructions from the MPSSA. I think your seat cushions can only be a certain thickness. You can't take bags in unless they're transparent. The radio stuff, I hope Garrett's listening. We can't take our radio stuff in there because they're, no, I'm teasing, but it the list of stuff. Someone said years and years and years ago, I show my age, and you guys have heard me say this, and it wasn't somebody locally, but someone at the state level said that they do the playoffs because they have to, not because they want to.
Yeah, we can use the term deep state. That's what we're getting to.
Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know. We will talk about West Virginia, but there's a lot of people involved in making these decisions and making things happen, and I don't think that, you know, it's not always well done.
In fairness, though, guys, the people at the sites when we go, Naval Academy, they'll be very, very nice, and the state people, and very accommodating, but
yeah.
I don't know.
All right, well, nobody, it sounds like, is picking Northern. We congratulate them, but it's got to be Fort Hill. All right, that's our first segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Frankfort Falcons. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
Kids, it's time for a visit with Santa and Mrs. Claus. Enjoy the holidays in downtown Cumberland every Saturday at the Rosenbaum Building at 118 Baltimore Street, November 30th until December 21st, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Bring your cameras or cell phones and take lots of pictures and make it a day of special memories. Come be a part of this annual tradition with Santa and Mrs. Claus. Enjoy a hometown Christmas in downtown Cumberland this year.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for Mom and Dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Hummingbird Cafe has Christmas morning brunch boxes that come with fresh fruit, sausage links, white chocolate, crayon muffins, and one main entree. Choose from a couple or family size. Order by December 15th at 304-738-4029 and pick up on December 23rd.
It's hot chocolate time at the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad's Polar Express train ride. Tickets available at WMSR.com or call 301-759-4400.
Hey, Mom, if Santa Claus comes out of the fireplace, won't he set off the alarm?
No. TWR installed a special Santa sensor so he doesn't set off the alarm.
Keep your home safe and sound, regardless of where you are, with TWR Communications. TWR is the only local security company who not only sells security systems, but also service and monitors the alarms they sell. TWR security systems include options for intrusion, fire, and even video. As we all know, the amount of home invasions have increased in the area. With a security system from TWR, you can arm your system and have peace of mind that you're protected. Enjoy 24-hour alarm monitoring, interactive features, and even a discount on your homeowner's insurance. TWR Communications, 549 North Center Street, Cumberland. Call us today at 301-777-2692. That's 301-777-2692.
With TWR, you are safe, sound, secure.
And don't forget to ask about that Santa sensor.
Merry Christmas, WCBC, Cumberland.
Take the ride off the West Coast here.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
And we are back. Welcome to Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is a pre-recorded show. Glad you could listen to our finale. All right, Tony, the high-flying Frankfort Falcons. What's their closest game this year? Is it still the Moorfield game?
I think it might actually be this Williamstown team. Held them. So they beat Williamstown 27-7 Last week was, I think, 28-7 or 28-6. So it's right around there. What's interesting is last week they rode Pattison, and I looked back at the stats to see when was the last time he got that many carries. It was Williamstown. So I think we're going to see that again.
And how many carries did he have?
So last week, 21 against Bluefield. He had 18 against Williamstown. He went for 229 yards last week in that playoff game. Down at Williamstown, 155, two touchdowns in that game. So, you know, sometimes the Falcons have some room to play, and they can do different things. They can throw the ball. They can move the ball. And they threw the ball effectively at the Williamstown game as well. I think Cutter was, what, 6 of 7. But when they need it, when it's time to make the donuts, they give it to Pattison, and he's able to get it done.
Brad, you went to the Williamstown game. Do you have a sense that this one will be closer round two, or do you anticipate more of the same?
I think it's Frankfurt's game to win or lose, and I think they're probably 3 touchdowns better.
Which they were the first time.
I think they have the capability to dominate this game. I've watched Williamstown since then. I don't think they've really evolved. It's just a quarterback show left and right, and I think Frankfurt's just the better team.
All right, Rock?
I'm not sure I'm entitled to an opinion because everything I know about Frankfurt this year, having not seen them, I learned from Tony and Brad and whoever is working with them. I'll tell you one thing. I am a believer in this Pattison kid based on watching him play defense primarily. That's where I remember him from last year with Kaiser. And he is apparently he is a load. I did see some of his touchdown runs on Facebook. Not that that counts for a whole lot. But he is a tough, tough runner.
Well, I went to that first game. Gosh, that game in August seems like a long time ago.
Oh, my.
And warm weather. And it was pretty close in the first half. Moorfield got that early lead.
Yeah.
And Pattison, I think, had like a 70-yard run
right
in the second half. And I didn't know he had that much speed. So he
yes.
has gotten more acclimated as we go.
Yeah, no, he's very fast when he breaks into the open field. He's very tough to bring down, obviously. He broke a 77-yard touchdown run last week that opened that game up. It kind of just the entire stadium kind of took a collective exhale and relaxed a little bit because you don't know what you got when you come in with Bluefield coming in. And they were good, but the problem Bluefield had was they had a quarterback that couldn't move. And if you have a pocket passer against Frankfurt, you're nowhere because they're going to get pressure. They're going to make you uncomfortable, which they did multiple times.
They get pressure up the middle on a kid like that?
Yeah, I mean, they do. They get pressure. They you rarely see them do what you would call a blitz. They get pressure with the linemen, and they get, yeah, they can get it from the line, or they can get it up the middle as well.
That sounds like Fort Hill,
mm-hmm.
who has, but they have not been getting pressure.
Yeah.
They've been very steady, and they stay in their lanes. Fort Hill does. They don't let the quarterback get outside, but Mike Conley, we've known Kevin Whiteman a long time. He was coaching at BW in the mid-90s. He was the head coach, and you know, we loved him then, and we're glad he's doing so well now.
Can't say enough about Kevin Whiteman, Jim. And, you know, Frankfurt has a total package. You know, like you guys said, I've never seen him play this year either, but they're on a roll. I look for them to show up in Charleston next week.
All right. And, Tony, of course, this show will be aired Saturday morning after the game on Friday night. But for you, what have you enjoyed most about covering the Falcons this year?
I like how well run the team is. I like that they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't make a lot of, you know, you can be very frustrated watching, and it's high school kids playing, but they're not just well coached, but they're disciplined and they hold themselves accountable. When the second team comes in, they don't lose a beat. And what you see is the first team rooting them on. So there's not, Pattison's not saying, get me in there so I can get more carries, so I can get more yards. Cutter's not saying, I want to keep playing. They're bringing in second team. That's going to pay dividends down the road. They don't make mistakes, and they're fun. They're fun to watch. They, you know, a couple years ago when they were kind of this good, but they lost in the playoffs to Hoover eventually, and they lost to Mountain Ridge. They were very methodical. Luke Robinette did a great job at quarterback, running the ball, running the offense, really draining the clock. They don't do that quite as much. They can if they have to, but the reason they can't do it is because they're explosive. They break out for big plays, whether it's Pattison reeling something off or a big pass play. They have big play potential. That's something that's new for the Falcons since I've been covering them.
And, Brad, when you guys interviewed Kevin after that first win, I listened to it on the way home, he likes those long drives. He said, but I like the explosive plays, too. And they've come to fruition. What have you enjoyed? You've really gotten to delve into Frankfurt football this year.
Great team and fun to watch. That's simple. They're just a great team, and I enjoy watching them. I think they're incredibly fundamentally sound, and they do everything well.
All right. And, Tony, assuming they get to Charleston, they're going to play the winner of Roan versus Independence?
That's correct.
Well, how about that West Virginia knowledge? What do you know about either of those? We know Roan's been up there all year.
Roan's number two. They run the wing tee. I think they look impressive. I think they look more impressive than Brad does, who has not been super impressed.
Are you guys in the film room?
Well, for whatever reason, Roan County, their games are on YouTube shortly after they go off. I think the commentary is the local radio, but they've got video there as well. And so I've watched a couple of those. And Independence, which I don't think would be favored in that game, but they won a state championship 2 years ago. They're very good. They have pedigree. They have a really great coach.
And speaking of a pedigree, Frankfort's been great since the school opened in 76, but they don't have that elusive state title. And we're thinking this is a year.
This is the year.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Garrett Egan, what would you like to add? You got to cover the Falcons. You're a Big Cheese field reporter there a while back.
Yeah, I enjoy doing the Frankfort game, guys. And I think with Frankfort this year, what I've been just so impressed by is the size of their line. It reminds me of a Fort Hill-type team where not only do they have the technique and the fundamentals, but they have size. The Lease kid was basically a monster, and that was one of my biggest takeaways talking to Coach Whiteman and talking to Tony and Brad after the game, is how crisp their linemen are. Julian Patterson has a home run power. He can also churn up the clock, and I feel like I kind of sing the same praises as everybody else, that for the Falcons, they've had some very, very good years throughout, you know, the last 15 that I've been doing high school football, but this feels like the year that they have just an insane amount of upside to get them to that state championship game.
I was talking to Sharon today at the station, who schedules all of us for these events, and she was asking, when would Frankfort play in that title game? See, I remember a Friday night game.
2A plays Friday night.
2A plays Friday night. All right, well, yeah. Let's hope all that will be coming to fruition. That does it for segment two of Saturday Morning Quarterback. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
WCBC, Cumberland.
Partly sunny today and a high of 39 degrees.
WCBC.
Mostly cloudy skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy after midnight and a low near 33. U.S. and state flags will be flown at half-mast today from dawn till dusk to honor those service women and men who died or were wounded as a result of the attacks on U.S. military forces in Hawaii and Alaska. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice says, "We take the moment to remember those brave men and women who lost their lives at Pearl Harbor. Their courage in the face of an unexpected attack shows what true sacrifice looks like. As we lower our flags to half-staff, let's think about not just those who were lost, but also their families and the love they left behind. We owe them such, and we should never forget the price they paid for the freedom we enjoy today. Let their memory remind us to stand strong and united, just like they did all those years ago." That's Newsbreak. I'm Chris Myers for WCBC News, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to 1270 AM, 103.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at WCBCRadio.com.
Falcons look a little confused here. They have a first and 10, 4 seconds on the play clock. Man in motion to the near side. Cutter will roll out. He has Patterson open in the flat. Said he's going to fire it deep down the middle of the field. Pass is caught, and touchdown. And it's Jacob Netting, who looked like he was not the intended receiver, Brad. He came out of nowhere and caught it for a touchdown. The Frankfort Falcons dominated the Williamstown Yellow Jackets 49-7 in the state semifinal Friday night in Short Gap, West Virginia. The Falcons scored on every possession, 437 yards of offense, 24 carries for 292 yards. Uriah Cutter, the quarterback, 4 of 6 through the air for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns, both to Jacob Netting. Rushing the ball into the end zone, Julian Patterson, Carter Shanholt, Uriah Cutter, and Blake Jacobs twice. Next week, the Falcons will play Roan County for a chance to win a state championship in Charleston. Once again, a final from Short Gap, Frankfort 49, Williamstown 7. This is Tony Orndorff reporting for WCBC Radio Sports.
This is Garrett Egan. Join me for every game of the Allegheny College of Maryland men's basketball season right here on your home of the Trojans, WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Cumberland Weather.
Partly sunny skies on your Saturday with a high of 39 degrees. Your football forecast in Annapolis today, partly cloudy skies, a high near 41. Back here in western Maryland, mostly cloudy skies this evening, then turning partly cloudy after midnight, low near 33, with partly cloudy skies on Sunday, high of 53 degrees. Clearing in the evening, then becoming cloudy late with periods of rain.
Listen throughout the day for the latest forecast. Always at AM 1270, now at FM 103.1, and at WCBCRadio.com. Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. This show is pre-recorded. And Garrett, we're going to let you go first. And I would ask everybody to just pick one to start. And if somebody wants to add another one.
Good luck with that.
Well, I have faith.
You let him get out of control weeks ago.
All right, Garrett. Topic one, your favorite game or broadcast this year. Have at it.
For me, it was the Dunbar-Fort Hill game that Brad and I got a chance to call at Morgan State. To give a selfish answer, it was the first time that I really got a chance to do play-by-play football-wise, and I thought that Brad did an incredible job. It was kind of dicey getting there. The traffic was insane for Fort Hill traveling there for the band, but we had a great time. It was a great game, even though Fort Hill ended up losing it. But very entertaining game, and I enjoyed doing the play-by-play.
Good for you. All right, thank you. Tony, your favorite game or broadcast?
Well, it wasn't Frankfurt's best game, but the Mountain Ridge game sticks out for me. They came into that game. They were 4-0, but they hadn't really been tested yet. They played a weird team that was down. They had beaten Northern.
A weird team, not a weird team.
Right. they played Northern, which that game looks different now than it did then. But you kind of didn't know, and they hadn't really they hadn't beaten Mountain Ridge in a couple of years. They lost last year in Short Gap on a kind of controversial play with a fumble that wasn't ruled.
That's right.
The year before that in Frostburg, they were
36-0.
They were blown out, right. They just weren't in the game. And so it was sort of a, we're going to see where this team really is. And they were dominant right really from the get-go. It was a little bit going. But I remember two big moments from that game stick out at me. And that was one of the games I got to work with Liam Rhodes, who did a really great job. One was when the clock ran. I remember announcing that in the call after a touchdown, because that felt significant. That felt like it was sort of an arrival moment for Frankfurt when the clock ran, meaning that it was a running clock because they had gotten to a mercy rule. And then the other moment I noticed was that they have you bring your car all the way into the stadium when you go there to do the game.
Oh, it's nice. Hobel says, come on
right.
in.
Well, but they fenced off that bank area, so you have nowhere to place the car, nor do you have anywhere to turn around. So my car, I was glad Frankfurt did well, because if they had done poorly and people wanted to take it out on something, that my car was right there. Could have been taken. And then I had to back out of this space all the way back at an angle around the fence that goes around the field and not crash into any of the people that were hanging around or the fence or the bathrooms that are right there as well.
Now you guys see what I mean about the sports director letting things get out of control.
Well, Rock, I've done this. I just love the anger. We all have anxiety about different things.
Yes.
This is just great. We should have you go up to Westmar and back down where that press. Have you ever seen that?
I don't like backing out of a parking space at Martin's.
You wouldn't have liked Westmar.
I do not like backing out. And I remember looking at that car the whole time going, how the heck am I going to get out of here? And that was it. Luckily, we were there late. Our post-game ran late, so it's fine.
And back at Stamen Field.
Yes, that's right.
And Tom, oh my heavens, Tom O'Rourke back. Okay, I love that. Mike, your favorite game or broadcast?
The Thursday afternoon game, Allegheny at St. James. That place is just it's a great place to view a game. It's just, like Tom would say, park-like setting. Yeah. The only bad thing was Allegheny gave up 12 points in the fourth quarter and came up short. But I thought that was my favorite game to broadcast this year.
Yeah, we have good memories of doing those Thursday games at St. James when BW went down there. Brad?
Rock, here comes some anarchy. I'm going to have two.
Here we go. That's consistent.
Waters are flowing.
I echo Garrett's sentiment about going down to doing the Dunbar game. That was a great time. That was a great game.
That was
game.
At Morgan State, right?
It was at Morgan State, which is a very nice stadium. Unfortunately, they didn't open it and because the kids had to change in like behind a tree, but it was a very nice venue. My second one is going out to Williamstown with Tony. That was a wonderful venue, totally different, but a great atmosphere.
That's always fun to do that, isn't it?
You see both ends of the spectrum, one small little town stadium and one big big town stadium.
Yeah. Urban. Rock?
Well, I can't go away. I could have jumped on St. James, too, because not only do we love it there, but it was a really interesting football game. I got to stick with my friends at Hollidaysburg and Albert Gallatin. It's small-town football. It's what you grow up when you're my age, what you grow up seeing, hearing about. The stands are full. There's bands. There's, color guard. And it's what high school football was meant to be whenever they invented it. And I'll never tire of going to those two places.
All right. I had St. James down, and I had the game at Gallatin. And, again, the Gallatin choice is because we had to go through a bunch of craziness. People were very friendly. They give you pizza and all this. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when they turned everything on electronically, it blasted our sound out. So Rock had to do the whole first quarter by himself, just holding a phone. Meanwhile, Brad got us in the school on the other side of the building. So we're in the chem lab, and we did the second half. And three of us were not on the air for 45 minutes. Rock is off the air because he has to come over for 10 seconds. Dave goes, "Where's Rock?" I'm like, "How about the rest of us? How about the other three of us who weren't in evidence?"
My dad and I were listening and texting. We were both very concerned about what was going on. We knew something was amiss based on how it was going.
Well, small town radio, huh?
If and when we get back to Gallatin, we're going to go for the school.
Well, the best part of the Gallatin was it has my favorite line of the whole year when I'm down there trying to get electricity, and it didn't work. Jim looks at me and says, "Just wrap up all this cord." That was my favorite line all year. Just wrap up all this cord. We had 2 miles of cord.
I was
going to
say, it was a couple miles. I've heard this story on the way.
And I just looked at him like, okay.
Now, I thought Brad might pick our Grafton game, where I heard the cord story because we drove around trying to get out of Grafton for I don't know how long. We saw the same Pizza Hut 15 times.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Tony, when you were backing up out of the Mountain Ridge, did you see the Pizza Hut from Grafton? Did you see that?
Yes, a little bit.
All right. Well, you can tell we like our road trips. Any new venues and thoughts? Garrett, you had the Morgan State as a new venue. Any other thoughts about venues?
Well, I'm glad you – I think Rock brought up the St. James game. While you guys were doing that, I was laying on a beach in Hawaii listening to the game, the end of that game. So in terms
literally
of games and broadcasts, that comes to mind. Venues, I still haven't gotten a chance to do an Albert Gallatin game. It seems like
my schedule
always eludes that one. But getting a chance to do the game at Morgan State has always been a good one. And I know it sounds crazy, but doing the game at Kaiser has always been one of my favorite ones to do, even though Kaiser's kind of on a downswing.
Yeah.
I always enjoy doing that game and being associated with that Allegheny-Kaiser matchup.
All right. Thank you, Garrett. Rock, we went to new venues this year, whether we wanted to or not. Any thoughts? You have a choice?
Well, you know, I have to mention Southern. I like to go to Southern. Not that Southern's been a powerhouse, but we're so happy they have football again. But there's Matt Redinger and all the Bosleys. I mean, they make you feel so welcome up there. And, you know, such good people, and you just wish nothing but good for them and their athletic programs. I really like going up there.
All right, Mike?
Well, the three new ones we had in the playoffs, you know, Clear Spring, Cambridge, and, of course, Perryville, and they were all accommodating to us, although we were outside.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, they did the best, but we did the best we could do, and it gives us 85 venues now, you know,
85.
In all our years, and
I'm
proud of that.
We're shooting for 100, right?
Well, people ask me that, and I say, well, it all depends upon Allegheny and Fort Hill getting new opponents.
Yeah.
So if they do that, we'll get there.
All right. Brad?
In terms of venues, well, this has nothing to do with
you have two, right?
Well, no. This has nothing to do with the people, but the venues that we went to, Clear Spring, where were we?
Cambridge.
Cambridge. Where else were we?
Perryville.
Perryville.
the venues,
yeah,
they were just barely venues, if you would call them that. If you had to use the bathroom at any of those, it was a chore because they would have – it was the size of the bathroom outside of the Fort Hill Gymnasium for about 600 men. I went to the bathroom. I waited in line. The game started two times. Both times.
Perryville was not ready. We did have a nearby porta potty. It was a good walk at Cambridge, but oh my goodness. All right, Tony, do you have a venue for us?
Well, yeah, and Brad already talked about Williamstown, but that was probably mine in terms of going to a place that looked and felt like high school football. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon. If you have a chance to go to the Metro News site and find this, it's probably still available there. You can dig through. But when they covered that game, the photographs they took of that game are just beautiful. The uniforms that the two teams were wearing just looked great, and the sunshine. It was a cold day, but it was really beautiful. And Grafton was a new venue. So for me, I don't have 85, but covering Frankfurt since 2017, that was my 22nd different stadium.
Keep count.
That I've done.
That's good. Good job.
On the Frankfurt beat. And Grafton was a great facility as well, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of the story of West Virginia, which is almost wherever you go, these schools have really great facilities, and Grafton hasn't really been a power in a while, though they did have a number of state championships at some point. But we had our own room there. There was like a VIP viewing room next to us where they could have brought people in, like two layers of seats for special guests.
Are you sure not describing Berkeley Springs?
No, Berkeley Springs, we stood the entire time because there was the ladder to the roof was in the spot where they told us we could broadcast.
It's been bad for a long time. All right.
If you ever go to Perryville and you expect a big crowd, hold it. Plan on holding it because you will not believe the scenario there where the concession stand and the bathrooms are together.
All right. As far as these venues, I got to talk about Cambridge because it was the worst atmosphere. The weather was horrible. I mean, it was cold at Perryville, but the sun was out. It was just cold.
You could pretend that we were a little warmer
but
than you were.
But Cambridge was so bad. But here's what I liked. We didn't even want to get out of the car. It was so windy. So I'm not exaggerating.
I'm willing to admit, rainy. I didn't want to get out of the car.
And then I'm walking around with the athletic director, and voila, here is a playground with a canopy over it, an elementary playground right behind the stands, and I said, this is where we will be. And
We have an excellent field reporter.
Thank goodness, yep. But thank goodness for that canopy. It was bad, but it would have been way worse.
Yeah.
But the problem was I couldn't see you guys. You were in total absolute darkness. It was like Darth Vader or something. I could just hear voices coming across. I could not see you because there were no lights outside the stadium. No wonder they're concerned about crime because they had one spotlight on the field.
It was really crazy. All right, we're going to take a break. More Saturday Morning Quarterback coming up on CBC.
Caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for Mom and Dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Hi, I'm DJ Ritchie, lead pastor at Memorial Heights Baptist Church at 1419 East Old Town Road in Cumberland. Join us every Sunday here on WCBC at 9 a.m., then join us in person at 10:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. For information about our church, find us on Facebook.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
All right, welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. Garrett Egan has a job to do tonight at Howard. Garrett, this is your last go-round. Why don't you give us whatever you'd like to, and then we'll take it from there and let you get ready for the AC Howard game. So have at it, Garrett.
Well, based on the email that I received this week, which was very thorough, some of the players to highlight, of course, you guys are going to go to the usual cast of characters, the players of the year, the offensive and defensive. But I think one unsung player that comes to mind, and it's t-
Tony might think this is crazy to call him this, but based on our area, when we think of Big Red, Big Blue first, Julian Patterson, who has, you know, because of how good Fort Hill is, how good Jackson Rush from Allegheny is, probably doesn't get the credit or the limelight as much as possible, being in a West Virginia school, being across the Potomac, but seeing his numbers, seeing him play live, easily one of the most unsung players of this season. And then also defensively, everybody always immediately thinks of Nick Willison on Fort Hill, and for good reason. I mean, the kid's an absolute stud. Seems like he's in every single tackle. But another player that has really come on down the stretch defensively for Fort Hill has been Mason Bennett on the opposite side of the field than Nick Willison. If Willison isn't in on a tackle, Bennett is usually there. He's one who, in that Dunbar game, ended up creating the fumble that gave Fort Hill a fighting chance in the second half. So those are two players that I immediately think of as unsung heroes and should be in the conversation, at least, for some serious accolades. And then also, just real quick, in the title game coming up this Saturday, Wally Brands from Northern. Of course, they have some great running backs, some kids that have really stepped up. But Wally Brands, I mean, Jim, we saw him, that field goal, a 40-plus yard field goal at the end of the half against Allegheny. He is kind of a difference maker and one that can be an X factor for Northern coming up this week.
All right, Garrett, good luck with your broadcast, and we'll be listening to you, Rock and Mike, Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Thanks, Garrett.
Thank you. Rock, 7:30 on the dot.
We just talked about it. We'll be there, buddy. Thank you.
See you.
It's such a wonderful combination of ages, experiences, and everything else we have going. Rock, we're going to do the what player do you deem the unsung hero or most underrated?
Well, keeping with the trend here, I have several. I want to mention Nash Castle simply because I think people take the job he did for granted. That's a very, very versatile offense. There's a lot to it. He's just a high school kid, and I think he had a lot of poise. He had that huddle. He owned the huddle. He threw some key touchdown passes, and I think running that offense is a real talent and a skill. Evan Graham from Northern, a linebacker, running back, reminds me so much. People locally have seen Jackson Resch more than they've seen Evan Graham, and he's Northern's version of Jackson Resch this year. I really respect how he plays. And lastly, I have to go by what Tony and Brad and others have said and what I've read. Uriah Cutter, the quarterback for Frankfort, 56-78, 892 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions this year.
All right.
That's incredible.
Michael?
I'm going to go with Keonti Bible from Allegheny.
Nice.
Okay. Freshman, yeah, he did his job quietly. 99 carries, 791 yards, that's almost 8 yards a pop. 7 touchdowns, 3 extra points, you know, and he did it quietly.
Yeah.
Jackson Resch got all the accolades, and he just did it good. He's only a freshman.
Hard hitter on defense. Great job. Tony?
Well, I was prepared for – we're doing unsung hero now, right?
Yes.
I was prepared for Cutter, but I also I had a backup because I gave Rock those stats, so I figured he might be using that. I'm going to take the Falcons kicker, Red Sensabaugh, who is not – he's not a kicker on the way that we – like, he's not there to win games with long field goals. He's 4 or 5 on field goals for as long as was 36 yards. But he's 56 of 61 on extra points. And that's not all the touchdowns, because Jesus Purdue came in relief a couple of times and kicked extra points as well. It's 16 touchbacks. And those are huge factors that really put the Falcons in great position, so that they're on schedule in terms of the scoring, where they're getting 7 instead of 6 consistently and reliably, and they're forcing the opponents to start from their 20 16 different times, and that is really effective. He had, I think, 2 or 3 last week, and he's had them in clutch moments. So last year, you know, I thought that when if he would miss a kick or if he would something would go wrong, he'd really get in his head. You'd see him be very visibly frustrated on the sidelines. I don't see that this year at all, so he's some maturity as well. I think he's only a junior, too, so he'll be back. So I'd go with Sensabaugh as an unsung hero, especially for the Falcons.
All right, Brad?
Rob Diedelhauser. You know that name, Rock?
I do know that.
Oh, the postseason interceptor.
Number 22 from Northern, and I believe he single-handedly changed who was in the state championship I think if he doesn't make that pick six, Fort Hill's probably playing Mountain Ridge.
And then he did it the next
week. He did it the next week against Boonesboro.
Wow. I like that a lot. Very good. Okay, I'm going to go with Bobby Brower, the kicker for Fort Hill. Him putting those kicks deep against Cambridge totally changed that game in the second half. I also have three other Fort Hill players. Braylon Younger, who we're going to be talking about a lot next year. Jamil Daniels, doing a lot all year. Carson Bender, who manages to catch all these touchdown passes that we talk about. Offensive player of the year, Brad?
I think it's Julian Patterson.
All right. Very good at Frankfurt. Rock?
I'll be darned. That's who I have, Julian Patterson. Very quickly, 115 carries, 1,186 yards, 24 touchdowns, and he was certainly a big key to their success.
Michael?
Jackson Resch, 206 carries, 1,204 yards, 5.8 yards per carry, 12 touchdowns, and an extra point.
That's who I have, Jackson Resch. Tony?
I have Daniels. I think he has the numbers. I think a lot of people are going to think of him as player of the year.
But you must have another
I
nominee.
Have a different person for player of the year.
Oh, what a show. It's
I love it.
Fascinating.
Right, it is fascinating. Yeah.
Defensive player of the year. Mike, you go first on this one.
I'm going to go with Steve Willison from Fort Hill. Hard nose, Nick. Always around.
We went to school with Steve Willison.
That's right,
that's
we
back
did.
In our era.
Yeah, it's Nick Willison, I'm sorry. Always around the ball, plays hard, and he's changed a lot of outcomes for Fort Hill this year.
He really came on last year.
A lot of tackles for loss. Yeah. I have Nick Willison. Brad.
Can't say it any better than what Mike did.
All right, Rock?
I have Jackson Resch. It was a real toss-up for me between Jackson Resch and Nick Willison. I would have been happy with either one of them.
It's going to be interesting to see how all this turns out, because after watching Jackson all year, we certainly think he should get something. But the coaches vote on it, and listeners, it's a lot fairer now than it was 5 years ago. Yeah. But I think I've given that rant before.
You have once or twice, yes.
I'll do it again.
I'm going to go with the Frankfurt player again. I don't think this person gets this award, but Jacob Netting, 5 interceptions, leading the area, and he's the leading receiver as well. He plays mostly – I mean, a lot of these starters for Frankfurt don't play in the second half, so they won't have necessarily impressive numbers, but that defense has been unbelievable, and he's a big part of the secondary success.
Did he catch up to 50% of Cutter's passes? It seemed
that's
got
to be, yeah. He's absolutely the primary receiver.
All right. I'm all for that. Okay, player of the year. Do we all have Jabril Daniels except for Tony?
Let's just ask Tony so then he can announce his.
Tony, who do you have?
I have Patterson. We heard the offensive stats. He's also right in the middle of the field. He's the middle linebacker. 34 tackles, 6 for a loss, a fumble recovery, and 5 deflections from that middle. And he is a difference maker. He is a disruptor on the defensive side. Rock mentioned seeing him last year at Kaiser, and that's where I took note of him as well, was against Kaiser. He really only played defense, and I was, as someone who was sort of, there following Frankfurt, you're thinking, I hope they don't figure out how to give this kid the ball on the offensive side of the field, because he's really good. You could see it right there, and he has brought that energy to Frankfurt. I think he's a big difference maker. I don't know. Now, that line is so good, it's hard to make this case. I don't know if they are where they are if they don't have Patterson in the backfield.
Well, let's get back to Jabril Daniels now, and that's a good story on Patterson for sure. I don't know if Fort Hill's where they are. I mean, they're handing him the ball, Jabril, 30 times at Cambridge. Maybe Braylon Younger could do some of that, but not.
I don't think he'd have the endurance yet that Jabril has playing 3 years like he did. And let's face it, every team that played him, was their number one job was to try to stop him, if not at least slow him down. And what's overlooked about it, and I have him as my player of the year, he's a heck of a defensive player also.
Right, and Fort Hill, the quarterback doesn't run it for Fort Hill. So that's another threat that other teams might have. So, well, we'll see how all this pans out. But very deserving players. All right, a couple final thoughts. We've been on the road because 5 weeks ago, Fort Hill lost 5 games due to forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought is, what are they going to do in the future to make sure that doesn't happen? They being the Allegheny County Board of Education, because it has cost Fort Hill tens of thousands of dollars, mm-hmm. and we are not exaggerating.
And I'm wondering if that will be the key that turns some people on to it's time to quit kicking this can down the road. Because you're right, I couldn't agree with you more. They lost a lot of money.
And radio stations, TV stations, you know, just individual people.
Right.
Traveling. Yeah, yeah. Brad, your thoughts about this Fort Hill having an ineligible player and having to forfeit five games?
Well, I go back to 52, and it's not the 52 steps, Rock. It's five games forfeited and two courts in West Virginia almost destroying the West Virginia yeah. playoff. So this whole season comes down to 5-2. Five forfeits by Fort Hill, two crazy, zany court decisions. So and that's what I'm going to remember this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's right. It's hard not to.
And we love talking about stuff on the field.
Right.
But the month of November was dominated by things off the field.
Right.
So,
and you do hope that the conclusion is we have to make sure this doesn't happen again. The fear would be that we just have to make sure no one finds out if we're doing this anymore, and we have to be better at hiding it. And so that, you know, you do want people to say, let's make sure that we know what's going on so this doesn't happen to us again. But the other way to handle it is just make sure people don't find out about it. But
does
it completely upended them.
Is it illegal to make a kid sit out a year like they used to?
I mean,
somebody must have won a court case somewhere, is my guess.
I would think so. I mean, I think it would probably. I think it probably is. There's something to that. Just
that
because
be
of
a
the
mock
right
trial thing?
the right to participate.
How much emphasis there is on the individual,
right?
It's hard to go back to that.
But right. Brock, go back to West Virginia. The rules are what the West Virginia, what West Virginia state says they are.
Yeah.
So in Maryland, if that's the rule, that's the rule.
Right.
They're not going to make anybody sit out until they change the rule.
Well, it's too bad.
No, and we talked about West Virginia and the playoff situation. We've talked about this in terms of the court cases. This all started because they decided to go to four divisions instead of three, which is something they didn't need to do. And they also factored in socioeconomic status and how close you are to an urban area in order to determine who was in where. And everything shook out, and all of a sudden, Frankfurt's supposed to play against teams like Fairmont Senior and Princeton and really big schools. They're in an area, they're in the division where I think they should be now. We'll see what happens, you know, when everything is all
and again,
said and done.
If and when Frankfurt wins the state title, credit to the AD and principal for keeping that going. They cannot be forgotten as far as that's concerned. Some positive things to look forward to. Frankfurt and Allegheny playing next year.
Yes.
Southern, their comeback on fielding a team.
Dunbar coming up here to Fort Hill. And it looks like Bridgeport is coming to play Fort Hill, or Fort Hill's playing. I've seen that the West Virginia board allegedly has that, and our friend Todd Helmick has hinted that a great opponent's coming to the board.
That would be a great game. I will tell you, I covered a game at Bridgeport, and it was the only place I've ever been where it felt like Fort Hill. It felt like a Fort Hill venue. If it's there, it's really great because, and I've said this before, but the team runs out of their tunnel, so to speak, under the stand. So it's this thunder that comes under the stands and under where you are broadcasting. That is an incredible place to watch a football game, and it's a great team, great program.
Yeah, that'd be just fun to go over there, no matter who's playing. Say you saw them one time. I agree.
Well, folks, I hope we've been able to convey the amount of fun that we have covering high school football. We love it, no matter where we go and what the conditions are. We love doing it. And thank you for joining us. May thanks to Chris Myers, who's been our engineer all season long. So that's our final Saturday morning quarterback. Stay tuned later today for Fort Hill versus Northern. And hopefully next Friday night we'll have Frankfurt in the state title game. Hopefully. For Garrett Egan, Tony Orndorff, Mike Connolly, Brad Reed, and Rock Cione, this is Jim Zamias for WCBC Radio Sports.
This has been Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in downtown Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's and respite care, located on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback is a production of WCBC Radio Sports. All rights reserved.
one of America's great radio stations proudly serving the community since 1976. 1270 AM, WCBC Cumberland.
Also on the web at WCBCRadio.com. 10 AM, new cars, used cars, all available at Timbrook Kia Motor City. Stop in today.